Daniel Nugent Bowman from the Star Phoenix in Saskatoon. Daniel, how you doing? Welcome to the program.
I'm good, Corey. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I appreciate the time. I guess kind of first off, the mood around Saskatoon right now regarding the Blades, coming off the season they had last year, is there optimism amongst Blades fans for an improvement this year? What's kind of the mood heading into camp?
Well, there's optimism in the sense that, the on-ice result couldn't have been too much worse last year. Of course, we're the third-worst team in the WHL, the third-worst team in the CHL, and that was their second-worst season in the 50-year history of the franchise. So there's only room for improvement in that sense. People are pretty excited in the sense that they have a new coach and general manager in Bob Woods, who was the assistant coach of the Anaheim Ducks last year. And alongside him will be Dean Brockman, who built up the SJHL's Humboldt Broncos into quite a successful program at the junior A level. So there's optimism in that sense, and not a huge amount of turnover. I guess we'll talk about that a little bit later, but in terms of the on-ice players on the ice. But everyone is a year older, a year better is what they're hoping, and there are definitely some signs for improvement.
Let's talk about Bob Woods coming in as the coach, GM. I know some of the moves were made prior to him getting there, but how's he been kind of adjusting to life in the Western Hockey League here so far after the time in the pro leagues?
Yeah, he's only been at the job, I should say, for about 2.5 months now. So he's taken kind of a cautious approach. I wrote the other day, I mean, he's like you said, the moves were kind of made, the bigger moves were made in terms of the draft and a couple of the trades that they made before he took over the job. So he admitted, I mean, he hasn't been in the league since the 80s when he was a player for the Brandon Wheat Kings. So he's got a little adjustment to do with getting his feet getting himself acclimated with the junior hockey level. So it's going to take a little time. It's kind of like an open season in terms of tryouts and getting to know the players. So everyone's kind of auditioning for jobs and whatnot. So he's just kind of letting that play out and seeing what he really has here at training camp.
Last year, the new ownership group took over in the Priestner group. How have they kind of made an impression in that city? Because I know some of the moves they made at different times have raised some eyebrows around the league. What's it been like in Saskatoon now under a year of the Priestner group owning that team?
Yeah, they're. I mean, I think like I said, they're people are pretty excited about the way that things are going off or on the ice. Rather, I mean, they have we'll raise some eyebrows as you guess you'd say. I mean, they had a bring your dog to the rink night one day at the end of February, I think it was, and that was very polarizing. I mean, some people loved it, some people just absolutely hated it. So, but they spent, you know, money and time and what resources bring in a guy like Bob Woods and the assistant coach that he brought in. Like I said, Dean Brockman is second to none in terms of that kind of capacity in the league. So they're making their mark for sure. They put a lot of resources into scouting, and it's just a matter of time it's either, in my opinion, going to be a spectacular success or things might go a little sideways, but like I said, they're kind of trending upwards, so it'll just take a little while for things to kind of play itself out.
Daniel Nugent Bowman from the Star Phoenix in Saskatoon joining us here looking at the Blades, and I guess when you talk about returning players, it kind of starts and maybe finishes with Nikita Sherbak, the Canadian first rounder, and he's going to be key to this team this year, isn't he?
Well, absolutely. Another guy is Nelson Nogé, who is their other pick, their player that was picked 101st overall to the Winnipeg Jets. He looks bigger and stronger and an undisputed leader on this team. But yeah, Nikita Sherbak is ultimately the guy that moves the needle here, and tremendous season last year, rookie of the year finalist, 78 points, 28 goals, tremendous player. He has very little to work with. He was playing with a rookie and a second-year player by the end of the year. So he really drove the bus. The thing that's a little tricky for them is they have two imports that they picked in the import draft. They were allowed to pick an extra player because Sherbak was a first-round pick to the Montreal Canadiens. So they're going to have to make a decision at some point there as to what they want to do. But it's like we said, Nikita Sherbak's the one that's going to be the offensive catalyst, so things are gonna go as he goes.
If things don't go well this year for the team in general, do you see a situation where maybe they move him to really start to help kick jump the rebuild here?
I would say, like, if it was my choice, I would. I think they have to strongly consider it.
Yeah.
You know, at the deadline, the problem, I guess, is the quota system.
Yeah.
You're only allowed to have the two Europeans. But yeah, he's the guy that, I mean, if they're not going to make the playoffs, what's the point of holding on to him? He's in his 19-year-old year. He was a late birthday, so this is his last year before his overage year. You can probably get a significant amount for him. The problem is that you'd have to probably take another import player back, given the quota system. But there have a bunch of younger guys. They drafted really well this past year in the Bantam draft. They have a few other younger guys that are kind of pushing along. So getting a lot for him is would be imperative for this kind of. It's really the second year of a rebuild. He's a guy that will help them in the immediacy, but they're a bubble playoff team at best. So I would see him as being a strong candidate to be moved at the trade deadline or just before.
Daniel Nugent-Bowman joins us here from the Star Phoenix in Saskatoon. And I guess the big deal this summer was them acquiring former first overall Bantam pick and Alex Forsberg from Prince George. Chance for him to really kind of get his career back on track here with Saskatoon, isn't there?
Of course, yeah. This is his 19-year-old year. This is a huge year for him. They have him skating on the first line with Nikita Sherbak, so that shows what kind of role they foresee him having or the chance that he's going to have. Of course, his former coach 2 years ago in the second half of the year, when he demanded or requested a trade and went home from the Prince George Cougars, is Dean Brockman, who, like I said, was his coach with the Broncos. He left and went there, so he has some familiarity there. And Brockman said he's going to lean on him a little bit to help him with getting adjusted to this new league. So, of course, he is a tremendous wild card. He was the first overall pick a few years ago in the Bantam draft, and hasn't really shown what was thought to be of him. So he has the chance to really do it. And if he's going to play with a player like Sherbak, it's time to kind of to put up or get out, so to speak, I guess.
Daniel, when you look at this team between the pipes, who's there going to be their goaltender this year, their main guy?
$1 million question, yeah. Troy Tremblay is the incumbent, but he's an overager who has really only the last season as a starter, and he only really got that job because of a little bit of inconsistent play and injury to Alex Moody, who they then shipped off to Spokane in the offseason. So he's the only one with any kind of WHL experience on the roster right now, but again, he is an overager and not somebody that, like I said, has had a lot of playing time. So it might be a case where they let him go with it for a little bit and see what they can get on the trade market. They brought in a few guys on camp invites. They have drafted a few guys that obviously can't play this year. So that's the biggest question mark in my books with this team right now.
When you look at this club kind of on the eve of the preseason starting up here, where do you see them this year? Is this a club that can take a step to their competitive to try to make the playoffs? Is this a team that's in for another long season? How do you sort of look at it this early?
Well, they're going to, I mean, they should, there are enough pieces there where they can be, you know, competitive. It's just making that jump up from 16 wins to being a playoff team is a tremendous leap. So they're going to be counting on Nikita Sherbak to really, push up, but it kind of depends on, who he's playing with ultimately and how he's able to kind of mesh with his line mates and whatnot. But there are some pieces up front. The depth as it gets down is, they have a lot of similar players. They don't have maybe a great defensive specialist or banger right now in terms of winger or any kind of thing like that. And the defense after the first, 3-4 players, there are a lot of younger guys that are looking to take those last two or three spots. So, there is reason for optimism. Whether or not they can get in, it's going to, like, there's the East Division is pretty wide open, but a team like Brandon and like even Swift Current, and depending on what happens with PA with Dreisaitl and Josh Morrissey, they're in kind of tough in that division, at least getting over the hump. So
yeah,
they're a bubble team at best, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next in that division. And, everybody's kind of pegging Brandon, and well said. I mean, they're a team that's going to be on the rise here. I don't know if they're going to arrive yet this year, maybe next year for sure. Swift Current should still be in the mix if they can find some goaltending, though. Is that sort of the way you see it breaking down?
Yeah, and I mean, Landon Bowe is promising, but yeah, very young and whatnot in Swift Current. But Yeah, I mean, obviously you have to like Brandon and the moves they made last year, bringing in the defenseman from Lethbridge there.
Pilon, yeah.
Ryan Pilon, yeah. Like, he was escaping me there. But yeah, they have obviously some guys in Hauerluck and some Gabriel and some other guys up front that can really play. So I would think they're the favorites coming out of that division. All indications are that Draisaitl will get a long look with the Edmonton Oilers. So that's a huge wild card for them. But the Blades are kind of, they're on the rise, but whether or not they're going to have enough to get over the hump is just really too hard to tell right now. And do you want to start making trades? They're not going to, just based on what I've talked to with ownership. They're not going to mortgage the future on getting in or trying to get past the first round. They're really trying to build something. So I think that they're just going to kind of see how it plays out.
Great stuff. Daniel Nugent-Bowman from the Star Phoenix in Saskatoon. Appreciate the time today, Daniel. Thank you.
I appreciate the call. Thank you.